It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Coming up at noon, our Browns beat reporter Daryl Ryder will join us as the Browns getting ready to take on those feisty Carolina Panthers tomorrow night. I still think they have the best uniforms in the NFL. I love their unis.
Really?
I think they're great. Yeah. And almost any of their color schemes are really cool. I think they're colors.
Who has the best uniforms in the NFL?
That's another segment. That is another segment.
Yeah. I have to.
We'll talk about that. Gavin Williams yesterday almost has a no-hitter, and he was outstanding. Logan Allen has been terrific this year. Slade Ciccone has stepped up and done a really nice job, and Tanner Bibee gives you a chance to win every time he goes out. The Guardians are catching up. They're getting after it right now. They're six games behind in the division. You want to look at the wild card? They're knocking on the door. They're a game and a half from tying the Yankees right now for the last wild card spot. 2.5 from being the number two team. In other words, playoffs are still a real possibility for this team. If this team is going to win in the postseason, if it happens to get there, Andy, I think it's a safe assumption to say that they're going to have to win in the postseason with pitching. With that thought in mind, you've seen what's happened this year.
Yep.
You're Stephen Vogt. Last year, you managed 10 playoff games, and you had three guys start 9 of those 10 games.
Okay.
Tanner Bibee started 4 playoff games last year.
Okay.
Matthew Boyd started 3.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Cobb started 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Gavin Williams started 1 last year.
Yep.
So he basically went with a 3-man rotation and then threw in Gavin Williams when, you know, it was called for because of, you know, the way the schedule played out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mainly 3 guys. Who are your 3 starters for the playoffs this year?
Bibee, Williams, Ciccone. Not even questioning it. I mean, obviously Logan Allen has a legit kind of talk that you can put him at. But for me right now, it's Bibee, Williams, Ciccone. I want to watch Williams pitch his next outing. Maybe I start him game one. I feel comfortable with any 3 of those guys. Maybe Bibee in game one, just because he's got the experience, a little bit more experience, and it's how important it is to win the first game of a series. So it'd be Bibee, probably Williams, then Ciccone. I love Ciccone. So
yes, we're well aware.
Yeah,
yeah. First of all, you love the name Slade.
That's right. Where you had me at Slade,
and then you love what the guy's done. He's been terrific,
and gets better every time he pitches.
If I had to pick 3 starters
right now,
in order, I'll give you an order. Even
okay,
it would be Gavin Williams. It would be Slade Ciccone, and then I think it would be Logan Allen.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I think Logan Allen, man, I really like Tanner Bibee. Don't get me wrong. I like the lefty thought. I'm guessing that whoever you go up against, having a lefty start might be a really good thing. And I love the way Logan Allen competes on the mound. I mean, he doesn't back down from anybody. And Tanner's had a little bit of an issue this year, giving up home runs. And I would have him ready to roll, I think. And you'd have to convince him of this, obviously. But again, you already paid him. I think I'd have him ready to go as my long man. And I might do something like, hey, Logan, you're going 3. We're not going to, maybe 4 innings. We're not going to let guys get a third look at you. And then Tanner, hey, Tanner, get ready. You're going 3 or 4. I might do something like that. Or I'd have Bibee ready to come in at a moment's notice for Gavin Williams in that first start or Slade Ciccone in that next start. The thing of it is, Andy, I think they have 4 legit pitchers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you wanted to go with a 4-man rotation, although Vogt didn't do that last year in the playoffs, you've got your 4. And you could make Cantillo that long guy.
I would never walk into a game thinking that I wouldn't that I would be scared to let a pitcher go through the third time in the rotation or third time through the lineup. If they're hot, they're hot. I don't care. If you want to see them for a third time and they've dominated, I'm going to let them go back through. I hate to even put that into a pitcher's mind. Well, you're not going to see this lineup for a third time. So I just, you know, you may want
to. Well, you don't have to tell them that.
But. Right. But I just like that whole notion, like. If a guy's pitching, like we knew Gavin Williams yesterday was pitching amazing, and so you just don't want to pull. Now I would say normally you're right though, Jeff, that you don't want to see that. You don't want to face a guy for a third time in a game. I get it because it might be. Is it advantage batter? Probably.
And they especially do that in the playoffs too. They really pay attention to it.
So I'm okay with what you're saying. Nothing tops experience. And I thought you made the case for Bybee when you were explaining it in the beginning about how he went through the rotation last year and how many starts Bybee got last year. There is just something about knowing what it's like to pitch in the playoffs and have a little bit more experience that gives someone an edge, for me at least, gives them the edge on whether I'm starting them, depending on where that is and what game it is.
Dennis is in Lakewood. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Dennis. Dennis Martinez.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, good. We're good.
I don't
good.
Think it's Dennis Martinez.
We were close. Okay.
Or Eckersley.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Would you have pulled Len Barker because he was pitching a no-hitter, a perfect game in May?
I wouldn't have pulled Gavin Williams yesterday, Dennis, if you listened.
No, I did listen. Okay. And
I said
that,
I'd have left him out there. And no, I wouldn't have pulled Len because he threw 102 pitches in the perfect game.
No batter saw a third ball in that game, in that perfect game. Isn't that amazing? Third ball. That's why that game so
Lenny threw 102 pitches. And things are different in this day and age in pitching, Dennis, unfortunately.
Well, how are things different? I'm sorry.
Have you heard of the Tommy John injury?
I have heard of it. Have you heard of the Bob Feller theory of strengthening your arm?
Well, and I did, and Bob didn't last as long as he should have. Part of it was the war, and part of it was he blew out his arm.
Did he really? I didn't know
He did.
I thought he pitched for like 15 seasons, which is pretty remarkable.
He did, but look at what he did the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that was my only point, because
I wouldn't have pulled Len, but Len didn't have a real high pitch count in that game. Guys, pitching is, take a look at it. It's an epidemic of elbow injuries because organizations, colleges, high schools, it's all about velocity, and these guys are blowing out their arms, and you have to protect it.
Bob had 279 complete games.
They just went forever, Andy.
That is unbelievable.
He wasn't alone, though.
No, I know.
I mean, they used to do that. You went out and you pitched. But look at the last several years of Bob's career. Bob was not the same type of pitcher. And I remember him saying he threw a curveball and he felt it and it was like, uh-oh. And he wasn't the same pitcher ever again. Was he still good? Yeah, he was still good, but he wasn't Bob Feller good. And that's just the way things go. A guy, to me, the biggest aberration in pro sports, all of pro sports, I think, is Nolan Ryan. Nolan threw gas until he was like 45, 46 years old.
Wow.
His entire career, he threw gas. And he never had a huge major arm injury.
You want to guess who the last pitcher was to have 100 or more complete games? The last pitcher?
Greg Maddux.
Oh, you actually said his name in the segment already.
Who?
Dennis Eckersley.
It was Dennis?
Yeah. That is amazing to me that you're right about how the game has changed. I just, wow, that's insane.
And I hate it because pitching is more than throwing hard. Pitching is knowing how to get guys out. And unfortunately, for kids to get noticed, usually it's velocity. You know, the Guardians are a little different than most teams because they look at how a kid can spin the ball. And if you, Shane Bieber's a perfect example. Shane was throwing like low 90s when he was in college, like 90, 91. And the Guardians liked how he threw the ball, how he could spin it, control it. And they thought, we can add 3 or 4 miles an hour to this guy. Well, they drafted him. They added 3 or 4 miles an hour to him. And you had Shane Bieber. But, you know, too often you see guys who can go out and throw it like absolute crazy, might not know where it's going, and then might get injured. And it's just, it's a different way of thinking than it used to be. And Bob Feller's way of thinking where you throw, I agree with it. I think it's great. But that's not what they do anymore. Take a look at the number of guys. In fact, we had Ron Darling on the show. What, Dano? About a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
2 months ago when we Ron playing, said this.
We were doing a game. They played a game on Fox.
And I mentioned to Ron that
CBS.
He pitched, I think it was like 8 years in a row where he threw 200-plus innings.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of Major League Baseball last year, I believe the number was three. Might have been four guys.
That was CeCe's goal every year when he stepped. Well, every year it was like, I'm going to throw 200 innings.
That was common for a starting pitcher. Now it's a rarity when a starting pitcher throws 200 innings in a season. And Bob Feller used to do it all the time. Take a look at Bob's. Bob threw 300-plus innings in a season all the time. There were four guys, Dano? Yeah, four guys last year who threw 200-plus innings in Major League Baseball. That was commonplace in the old days. And why are there so many injuries now? Is it, and it's the same injury for the most part, is it because they're not throwing enough? Maybe. Is it because they're throwing with such high stress velocity and putting so much stress on that ulnar collateral ligament? That might be it too. Is it a combination of the two? That might be it too. But teams have to watch it like crazy now because there's so much money invested in pitching.
Since 1999, there's only been one pitcher in the American League that has had more than that's had double digit complete games. That was James Shields in 11. He threw 11. The last time in the American League a pitcher had more than four complete games in a season was Irving Santana and Corey Kluber in 2017. It's weird when you look at complete game numbers.
It's a different world.
And how they dropped as once we put a 2-0 on the date rather than a 1-9, everything dropped.
And now if you go five innings, you turn it over to the bullpen.
Bert Blyleven was the last guy in the American League to have 20 or more complete games. He had 24 back in, what year was that? 85.
Who would your rotation be for the Guardians in the playoffs? Last year, Stephen Vogt used three guys, and then one guy made one start. Something funny about all that coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.